Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 28, Minotaur, The Diviner, Review.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts, Brian and Ruthie.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to finally an episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And yeah, even after 2 months of a hiatus, we still haven't changed our theme. I think at this point it's going to end up staying until next season, I guess. But we've been off. We said we weren't going to be this off this long, but that's what happens. But we'll explain a little bit why. There's reasons for it. But we are here finally to discuss season 3, episode 9 and 10. So episode 9 was titled Minotaur, which is, I believe it's half bull, half man, which probably describes Troy. That was written by the current showrunner, Dave Erickson, and Mike Zunick. That's probably how you say it, Zunick. Yeah. Directed by Stefan Schwartz. And I know he's directed episodes before. I don't know who Mike Zunick is. Never heard of him before. The 10th episode was titled The Diviner, which I think has to do with the divining rod thing they were using to find the water. That was written by Ryan Scott and directed by another person I've never heard of before, Paco Cabezas. I hope I said that correct.
I think you did.
All right. Well, what the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Okay. So, some info about this episode comes from an interview on the Hollywood Reporter, Josh Wigler, who actually does a podcast with the post-show recaps for Fear the Walking Dead. He interviewed Dave Erickson, the showrunner, and three things came out of there that I thought were interesting. Actually, I guess there's a 3A and a 3B. But first thing is that there was a planned webisode that would have dropped during the hiatus that for whatever reason they didn't end up doing that would have told the story of how Strand got to the bazaar and how he got into so much debt. Apparently, that story would have had Strand running into Alex. And if you don't remember who Alex was, that's the character that was in Flight 462. Who stranded on the life raft in episode 3, Ouroboros, if you recall. And I guess he ran into her and I guess out of guilt, he tried to help her out of a situation and that ended up compromising himself. And that's how he got into debt somehow. So we would have heard that story, which would have been good, but unfortunately we don't end up seeing it. But, and I still don't know where this is, but this, cause I heard about it, but I didn't find it in the episode. So I'll go back and watch again and try to find it. But sometime during, their trip to the bazaar, there was a drop in of the Breaking Bad theme. I don't know if you heard it or not.
I heard a little bit about this too, and it seemed like it was like somewhere in the very beginning. but yeah. I'm not sure where.
Yeah.
Because I didn't catch it.
Yeah. So the third, I guess this would be 3A, and I'm going to tell this out of sequence from what I've got written in the show notes. So apparently he also was asked about, like, you know, the fact that with these last eight episodes, this kind of ends his run as the showrunner of Fear the Walking Dead. We're going to get into that a little bit more in the news section, because it was actually some news that came out of that today. But he talked a little bit about, like, where the story would have gone had he, you know, continued on. So I would consider this spoiler light. So it's what he had intended to do, but, you know, he's not running the show. So it'll be two new guys running the show. So they may, you know, carry that story out. They may not. But he was going to have an arc between Madison and Nick that they were going to, you know, come to heads, during season four, kind of a, you know, on opposing sides, I guess. So that may happen in season four and it may not, but I thought that was interesting. And then in his, way, he always seems to talk a lot about what's coming. So this I would consider to be a spoiler, but I will tell it. He says that, the decision not to kill Troy of Madison's, he says the danger of his return and the fact that he's still out there, I think you put it very well. That's something that does haunt them both emotionally. And when he's talking about them, he means Nick and Madison, both emotionally. And it will most definitely come back to bite them in the boop boop. So, yeah. So I have a link in the show notes, but it's, I've already put that link on the Facebook group. So if you are interested, more there. So, normally we go into ratings after this, but this, because of Hurricane Irma, the ratings are delayed, this week. And if you don't know, Nielsen's main office is in the Tampa area, as is their main data center. So, you know, most of their employees are, you know, off right now. So, they are kind of behind, you know, as you could probably understand, given what's been going on in Florida right now. And if we have any listeners that are out there, I hope you're okay. And of course, same goes for the people that, you know, in the Houston area and that surrounding area dealing with Harvey, you know, from a couple of weeks ago. I hope everything's okay with you. But anyway, we don't have the ratings for Fear the Walking Dead, either episode or the season 8 Walking Dead special that came before it or Talking Dead that came after it. But we'll cover those all next week. So into news, and I said I was going to try to explain a little bit why we haven't done an episode, and there's a reason for it. And that is that while we've been on the hiatus, I have been working on a brand new podcast. So most of you listeners that have been listening to us for a while know that, you know, my veins run, quite deep with Vulcan blood. specifically what I mean is, you know, I've been a big Star Trek fan for, you know, almost my entire life. I was, you know, watched it from my first memory was watching Kirk fight the Gorn. And anyway, so, you know, ever since then, and especially, you know, once Next Generation came around, and ever since, you know, I've been a big, big Star Trek fan. So I'm proud to announce that the Star Trek Discovery podcast is about to start. That's right. Enough of that. Anyway, so we don't have our first episode out, but that we have recorded it. It should be out hopefully in the next few days. When it is, I will post something about it on the Facebook group. But we do have a Facebook group about that podcast. So the name of it is very, very simple. The Star Trek Discovery Podcast. I actually got StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com. So that will point to, it is still a GSM podcast. So if you go to that URL, that will redirect to the GoldenSpiralMedia.com URL. And hopefully that will be out in the next few days. So that is actually starting up on the 24th. So I'm doing it. Unfortunately, I'm not doing it with Kyle or Ruthie. They are sticking to The Walking Dead. And I am actually a new host for GSM. Adam Drake is going to be my co-host, and he's also a co-worker. So that's going to be interesting. He's actually someone that I've met in person, unlike Kyle and Ruthie. So anyway, as I say, we should have the first episode out later this week, and I'll announce it on the Facebook group. So by the time you hear our next Fear the Walking Dead talk through episode, at least the first episode of that podcast should be out. So anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. The only crappy thing about it is the schedule, which both shows come out on Sunday nights. So what's going to happen is we're going to transition things. So Kyle is going to transition, and he's also going to edit the podcast. And thankfully, on the other end, Adam is going to edit the Star Trek podcast. So I'm going to kind of step aside on both hands and stick to the other producing things of the show and host, because the schedule, like I say, is, you know, kind of difficult. So, and hopefully our schedule here will stay the same. We're going to try to record Star Trek Monday nights, but we'll see how that works out. So anyway, wanted to mention that to you. As far as news, there's been a ton of news over the last 2 months, and especially there's been quite a bit of news in the last couple of days. So I'm going to go through it, but I'm going to go through it really quickly. So, of course, you probably know that stuntman John Bernacker died on the set of The Walking Dead. It was actually the week of our last episode. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of been a somber thing. And later that week, actually, George A. Romero, who you probably know from, you know, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, you know, all the of the deads, you know, the sort of grandfather of the zombie apocalypse. He died of cancer on the 16th of July at the age of 77. So that's another bit of news. There've been a couple of legal developments. We've talked about Frank Darabont. Well, some of his emails came out over the hiatus, and they were pretty nasty. And shockingly, shortly after that, it was announced that Robert Kirkman, Gale Ann Hurd, Kirkman's partner at Skybound, David Alpert, and former showrunner Glenn Mazera are also suing AMC over non-payment and undercutting rates, basically that AMC is charging itself too low to broadcast The Walking Dead, and as a result, the producers are not getting their fair share. And then shortly after that, Kirkman, who, you know, I know he has another show coming out for AMC on comics, but he announced that he has signed an exclusive development deal with Amazon for new projects. And then today, now we knew that Dave Erickson was stepping down as showrunner from Fear the Walking Dead. But today it was announced that, now he was supposedly stepping down to develop other shows for AMC. Okay. And from what I heard, he has a show that's in development at AMC. But today it was announced he signed a deal with Sony TV to develop for them. So this is kind of all the stuff going on with, you know, them suing AMC and Kirkman and now Erickson, you know, signing other deals. I don't know. This doesn't sound very good about AMC, yeah. Does it?
No. I mean, it does. It's kind of like just all these things are happening and you're like, what's going on? Like, you know, I don't see them bailing ship and then not finishing, you know, obviously our shows, but it seems like there's some tension between the brass.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like one thing, like, you know, with Darabont suing, I mean, you could kind of understand that, you know, there's some sour grapes there. You know, he got let go as a showrunner. Mm-hmm. We kind of understand that. But now, you know, Kirkman himself and Gail Ann Hurd, David Alpert, yeah. You know, those three, and then Mizera, three of the four of them are still involved with the show. They're now suing AMC. And then Kirkman and now Erickson are signing deals away from AMC. It just makes me think that AMC is not treating its people very well. And, I don't know. It's one of those things. It's, you know, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's what it feels like. It's like, you know, all these things going on with AMC, it doesn't put them in a positive light. And, I don't know. So, but a few other things, was announced, I think, yesterday. I don't know what the status of it is today, but for the second time this season, The Walking Dead shut down its production. You know, the first time was because of the death of, you know, John Bernicker. But this time it's because of Hurricane Irma. So, you know, probably because of the rain and the high winds, yeah. You know, makes it a little difficult to shoot. So, a few other things really quick. Ride with Norman Reedus was also announced to have been renewed for season 3. Season 2 hasn't come out yet, but season 3 has been renewed. And Robot Chicken, that was announced quite a while ago that was coming out, a parody of The Walking Dead. That apparently premieres midnight October 8th. So that's coming up soon. Lastly, did you watch the season 8 special?
I did not get a chance. It's on my DVR. But okay.
One thing that a fan asked from the audience was if – I think it was from the audience. It may have been a caller. But someone, you know, not Hardwick, not Chris Hardwick, asked Gimple if we were going to see Maggie, you know, have her baby this season. And Gimple said no. So I don't know if that means that, you know, either not that much time is going to pass, or does it mean that, you know, maybe there's going to be a time jump and by the time we get back, she will have already had her baby. I don't know. So, All right. That's a hell of a lot of news, but we are done. So let's move on to our discussion of this episode. So first we start with ratings. So, I'm going to start off with you, Kyle. What did you think of these two episodes?
I mean, I guess I didn't think really at first was like to separate them, but I like to just look at it on the whole is how I felt. And so I gave it a 6 out of 10, no martyr Troys, because no one can freaking just kill him already.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. There were a couple of opportunities there. Both Nick and Madison could have killed him, and they would have been justified. And yet they didn't do it. Mm. Yeah. So, I didn't love this episode either. It got an okay rating. I judged it as one because it was presented as one episode. Like the credits they gave, part one, part two was written by, but it, you know, they only had one end credits and one beginning credits, unlike the times that they've done this before.
Yeah.
So I've treated it as one episode, excuse me, but, I gave it a better rating, but still, you know, sort of middle for me, which, yeah, I rate everything too damn high. 8.5. I gave it 8.5. White Witches of the Apocalypse, which is something that Troy called Madison. So I thought they were okay. But certainly disappointing. I was expecting more for this episode.
Yeah, same here. It was just, I don't know if it was the break or what, but I just, for some reason, it just didn't sit with me very well. Like, I almost kind of was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, those last two episodes were really good. And, I was kind of expecting things to.
A little more steam.
Yeah.
Like more like tension and just. Yeah. Well, anyways, it's
yeah.
Hopefully,
and they definitely weren't. The things were just kind of, it's kind of ho hum. You know, it was okay. There's a lot of setup though.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think. I agree.
Okay. Well, we got a couple of other ratings, so why don't you give us the first one?
Yeah, Dieta. She rates it. I rate this episode 7 out of 10 water shortages at the Wild Wild Ranch.
And Laura, she gave ratings for both episodes. So she gave Minotaur, the first part, 9.75 out of 10. And 8.5 for The Diviner. And I like your new picture on Facebook, Laura. All right, so time for Awesome Sauce. So the vocal stylings of Ruthie to say,
Awesome Sauce!
All right. So we got a couple of awesome sauce-eye from our listeners. So why don't you start with...
Yeah. All right. Well, Dieta says, Daniel in this episode was the highlight of my awesome sauce. And
Laura, she says... Every scene with Troy, but especially when Nick confessed to killing Otto and Nick's Nick's hallucination. Best line with Madison's gun trained on him after impaling his hand on Claw Jackson's blade and punching him out. His response was, oh, hi. He's the most interesting character on the show right now, in my opinion. More intriguing than either Negan or the governor. Oh, that's high praise.
Yeah.
I also like the groups coming together in the end to dig down for water. An uplifting end, but I think there's a long way to go before there's peace between these two groups. Yeah, I like that ending too. And I would agree with you that I think this is a good start, but I think that things are going to get more tense before they get less.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, why don't you give your first awesome sauce?
And it was, just kind of like after I did my rewatch or whatever, but I noticed it before, but it was like Alicia telling Nick that Madison or mom is broken. And later under her breath, she was like saying, I don't want to be the strong one anymore. She just felt really pained in that moment or whatever, but it just makes me feel like Alicia is like, it's almost like she's just getting tired of Madison and, or just, you know, her mom, I guess, would be like, she's getting tired of her mom and like the things that she's doing. And I'm getting this feeling that like, is Alicia going to somehow come back and betray, you know, Madison somehow, or not be there for her at some crucial moment? So I don't know. It felt like this like telling moment all of a sudden.
Okay. All right. So my first awesome sauce, and I've got them out of order, but I thought the best moment in both episodes by far was Strand consoling Madison. And I actually loved that moment because, you know, here is, you know, a guy that, you know, they've been, you know, kind of somewhat adversarial in the past, but he has, you know, turned into someone that she can trust. And Madison just kind of, you know, breaks down a little bit, and, you know, Strand gives her something that she needs, you know, a chance to just stop being so strong for, you know, a moment. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that to me was a great moment. And I loved how he was able to figure out, you know, he put two and two together, how the fact that Travis was not with her, mm-hmm. and the way that she said, you know, my kids are safe. He was able to determine that Travis was not safe and that he didn't survive.
Survive. And,
you know, so I thought that was very perceptive of him to figure that out.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, cause that was one of the things I had said earlier. It was like, you know, I was kind of like at first going, you know, how did he know about Travis? But then when you look at it, it's like, yeah, she kind of let, you know, let him, or just, you know, he could deduct that and just figure it out. It's like, yeah, obviously like her kids are safe, but not like Travis and I kids or, you know, yeah. She never even mentioned him. So,
yeah. All right. You got another awesome sauce.
Yeah. It was just fun. Cause for one, Strand being back and just seeing him, like I would have loved to had that, you know, the, you know, during the break, like the little web series, but just Vic or Strand being there, he's always in trouble, it seems. But then he had that line. He's like, you know why my mom named me Victor? And he's like, because I always win. And it was just like, I love it. Cause it was like Victor. Yes. He's the Victor. I don't know. It was awesome.
I did a partial watch of, season 3A prior to the episodes on Sunday. I got through the first five episodes from the, from 3A. So one of the ones that I remembered was from, I think it's the second episode where, you know, that crazy lady gives him the car, mm-hmm. and he, you know, he clicks and, you know, finds the alarm, you know, click,
yeah,
you know, beep, beep. And then he pulls the thing across and he's like, my style and color. Very Strand moment. I got a kick out of that. All right. Well, and I guess this also is Strandish. My final awesome sauce was the actual functioning marketplace in the apocalypse, sort of a flea market style. I know some other podcasts, you know, mentioned the similarities to Mad Max.
Max, yeah.
Yeah. But I thought that was really cool. You know, we saw one of the few times we've seen in the, you know, in the Walking Dead universe, a vibrant commerce, you know, going on where it sounds like you could, you know, buy anything. And, you know, I've been doing a Star Trek rewatch, you know, preparing for Discovery, and it made me think of Deep Space Nine and Quarks, you know, the kind of thing where you could buy anything, you know. So
yeah, it was yeah, and I mean it was kind of cool because it's like, you know, that is something that The Walking Dead we really haven't gotten to see till now. You know, like seven seasons later, just like kind of functioning little cities-ish kind of things.
Yeah.
But this definitely on a complete bigger scale. Like we don't know really anything more than other this, these people and everyone around us, you know, made this like their hub. And
yeah, the closest thing that we've seen that's like this was the market in actually season two of Fear, you know, run by those thugs.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like the same kind of, you know, this commerce going on, like flea market style, a lot of bartering going on. It was
like different groups though, like, you know, coming to have their whatever wares. I mean, I it just looked like there were so many different types of people there and so many different services or, you know, trade, that it wasn't just like, yeah, the gangs that had that supermarket. It was just like, that was them. And yeah, you only had one thing.
Right.
And it was controlled by them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, we had people from both sides of the border there, and it was just really cool. I hope we get to see that again. I have a feeling we will, even though they didn't, you know, buy what, you know, they didn't buy the water. I have a feeling we'll be seeing them again. So, all right. Well, that's it for our awesome sauce for this episode, but we have the weak variety.
You're worthless and weak.
All right. I missed that during the hiatus.
All right, I'll go with Dieta. All right, well, Dieta's weak sauce is Madison not shooting Troy and ending the stupid cat and mouse game between them.
Yep.
Completely agree.
Yeah, and it's like Teflon, you know. It's funny that he for whatever reason, people just can't seem to kill him.
It's like, I don't know, like there's like this weird kind of like rationale in their head that they're like, oh, they can save him or like fix him or I don't know. But then he just completely shows them that like, no, I want to kill everyone. I want to be, you know, I never surrender, I think he says at one point. And it's like, he's kind of a goner. Like he's not going to help.
All right. And it's funny, you've done all of Dieta's and I've done all of Laura's. So Laura's weak sauce, she says, Jake handing over the key to Taka with no argument whatsoever. He seems to be letting anyone, Alicia, Madison, Taka, take the reins of leadership. Maybe he's just over it all after his father's death. But I would say that Jake is...
You're worthless and weak!
You know, he may not be feeling well, but it seems like everybody's walking all over him.
Oh, yeah, he's letting it.
All right, what weak sauce do you have?
Oh, goodness. Pretty much, like, just Troy again. Like, you know, Nick should have shot him when he had the chance. And it seems like there's, like, you know, Nick's trying to do something. I don't know what it is. Like, try to change things or change him or rational, you know, have a rational discussion with him. And then Troy's just like, no, you're with me. Let's go guns a blazing. You know, it's just like there was that instance. And then like how that big shooting at, you know, Auto House, like everybody's blowing out the windows and the doors and none of them got hit.
Typical.
I mean,
yeah, typical gunfight in the zombie apocalypse. They hit every zombie with a bullseye.
Yeah, you know, like right headshot every time.
Yeah, every time is a headshot, and you know they can't hit the side of a barn when it comes to people.
Yeah,
you know, it's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, I noticed that too, especially you know, I was going back and I only got to watch the full episode twice this time, but I saw part of it again today at lunch. So I got to that point and it was just like watching going, can no one hit anyone? Like I was like, someone had to have gotten hit, but nope. Neither side. No one shot Troy or Nick, and no one, it seemed like Nick and, well, I don't think Nick actually shot, but Troy didn't actually shoot any of the nation either. So it's just insane. And for that matter, like who gave the order to shoot? That I couldn't figure that out when I was watching it. It didn't make a lot of sense to me who shot or, you know, who started it. But this kind of goes into it a little bit. And I guess it was, I forget the kid's name that, you know, took out the gun and, you know, got choked out, died from.
Oh, Terrence, I think.
Terrence, yes.
I think that's what I wrote down.
Yeah, Terrence. The thing I don't understand about that is why did the Nation get to control all the weapons so suddenly? Like,
yeah.
it seemed contrived and overblown, and it, you know, was like, oh, one of you try to shoot us? We get all the guns then. You know, and, you know, Madison's like, you know, just give the key away. Like, it's like, really? Yeah. So
it happened quick. It was like just 1 second they're like moving in, and next second it's like, hey, we're going to control all the guns now because whatever. It's like, it just went crazy fast.
Yeah. It like I said in the notes here, it went to zero, you know, went from a dead stop to warp 10 in no time. So yeah, I had an issue with that. What's yours? You got another one?
Yeah, it was just like kind of Madison throughout the whole episode.
I noticed a trend, Kyle.
Madison and me and Ruthie. She's just getting on my nerves because I feel like at one moment she seems to make like the decision or like influencing others to like, no, here's the right thing to do so that we all live, or like, you know, a better outcome, to her just being completely I feel like just selfish, and all she cares about is her, and like it's her decision, you know, and like, you know, and then just, I don't know, like it drives me nuts because she won't listen to Alicia or Nick, and she's like, no, like I'm going to do this, or like fact that she just came back and after the big shootout, and Nick's going into the canister or that whatever heat deal, and then she does the whole Troy thing and doesn't kill him and comes back, and then she's all like, oh yeah, I just got back, oh hi, you know, Nick, like I gotta go again, you know, to go get water, and I don't know, she's just all over the place, and it's driving me nuts. Like it's, I don't know, it's
Yeah.
You have any things yet? Like thoughts on that?
Well, that goes into the weak sauce, my final weak sauce. I just thought it was crazy that both Walker and Madison go, you know, Kirk style on an away mission. You know, when things at Brokejaw are really tense, you know, they just announced these rations, don't really explain why.
Yeah.
And things were tense before that. So the thing to me that I thought was insane is, okay, they obviously needed to do something about the water, but why did they have to send those two? Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see, say, what's her name? Ophelia going instead of, Walker. 'Cause to me, it made no sense at all for Walker to go. Madison, technically, you know, even though she's kind of like, since we've been watching Game of Thrones, over the hiatus, I was thinking of, well, this is not from season 7, but, I think Madison to Jake is like, Jake is, King Tommen, and, Madison is like Tywin Lannister. So in other words, King Tommen is the king, but he's basically got, you know, all the power is with Madison. So, you know, she's the one pulling all the strings. So I could see maybe Nick and Ophelia going, for example, and not Madison and Walker, especially those, especially Walker. I just, it didn't make a lot of sense to me for them to go at that particular time. Someone should have gone, but it did not have to be them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and Walker pretty much was kind of the one that was in control of his people and, you know, kind of trying to rein in with, you know, Jake, like on his side or whatever, to control his people, that you would think that it's like he would want to stay there just to make sure that he couldn't, keep things peaceful.
Exactly.
While, yeah, instead he's like, oh, it's, you know, it's like the boss is leaving all the children to the, you know, the store. And like, of course, nothing bad's going to happen because they're left unsupervised.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was very contrived. So, yeah. So to that, and another contrivance, I think, was I thought it was really dumb for Madison to take in that walkie-talkie. Because they're in a bazaar, they have to barter for entrance, and a long-range walkie-talkie is going to be valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, it made total sense for them to want that thing. You know, so to me, you leave it in the car.
Or she was literally like wearing it on her hip, just like, oh, look at this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's right here. And didn't think once about, oh, yeah, I still told my daughter that I'm going to call her like the same time this day. And then don't they have something else they can trade? Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't have gotten 2 days worth, but you at least got a day. But yeah. And then it's like, okay, you know what? Forget Alicia. I'll just somehow make smoke singles. You know, it's like, how are you going to like check in?
Yeah. And the thing I wasn't too sure about, you know, from there, are they going back to Brokejaw or are they going straight to Tijuana?
Yeah. And I think at this point they're going to Tijuana.
That's what it sounded like. You know, so, you know, here they're going to be gone, you know, a lot longer, and now they've got no way of contacting the group.
Right.
So it seems kind of crazy. Okay, so that is it for Weak Sauce. So now we've got some feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Oh, Simon. All right. Strangely enough, you get to have
Dieta's
feedback again. So
this is working out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dieta says, I felt lost and less engaged with the characters with this episode, hence the low rating. What is going on with Nick siding with the crazy Troy? And why did Nick tell Troy that he killed his father? I mean, what was his angle with that information? They were already telling everybody that he killed himself to save them and the ranch. So why risk telling the truth, for the truth getting out? And really, they exiled Troy like he hardly, they exiled Troy like he really couldn't find his way back. WTH, in the words of Rick Grimes, they always come back. I am truly lost on this storyline. When Nick told him he did it, he had no way of knowing what they were going to do to Troy. Oh my God, poor Alicia and Nick still battling for mom's approval. Really? What is it with these kids and mommy dearest? Madison is still irritating as hell. She let Troy escape and attack the Indian guy. Sorry, can't recall his name. And then herself. She gets the gun back but doesn't shoot. Oh, he is coming back for her and Nick to settle the score from what I can tell. My final thought on this episode, can't we all just get along? Jeesh, it's the apocalypse. What happened to teamwork makes the dream work? LMAO.
Yeah, so a couple things in there. Lara said his name before, and that was Claw Jackson. So,
okay.
Was the guy's name. And to correct you, Dieta, not that I, you know, want to be a stickler, but Rick didn't say they always come back. That was Dawn from Grady Memorial Hospital. If you recall, that's just what happened just before Beth, you know, got shot.
Mm-hmm.
She said that Dawn said that about Noah. She said that about Noah. Anyway, what Rick said was, you get to come back. So, not to be a stickler, but that was, I realized that as we were reading it. What else? There was one other thing. I think that Nick decided to tell Troy that he killed his father because the other tactics weren't working. So I think he realized that, he needed to hear that his father, like, cause he was saying before, you know, his father was a drunk and all that kind of stuff. And I think in some way it just made him, just kind of sit down and say, you know, what the heck, when he found out the truth.
Yeah.
So I think it was risky, but I think it was in that case for Troy was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, and I was like kind of looking over some of my notes of that scene. I during that whole exchange, like, not, you know, before he tells him, like Troy's like, no, we're doing this together. Hey, we're like BFFs, you know, like we're going to go out. Like he was all about, like, he was like, oh, I'm so glad you're the one that, like, is taking my side. So he was all on this arc of like, you're my best friend. And I think when Nick came clean, basically just to, like, you know, he was like, I can't talk to this guy, or, you know, whatever made him actually do that. But then you see Troy, and it was almost kind of like he looks at him like he just died inside, because he was like he was alone, you know, and his BFF just basically betrayed him. But then I think, you know, maybe Troy also is a little bit kind of a coward, or I don't know, maybe that's not the word, but just like, you know, he is being left. And so he's once again, like, his dad pushed him away, or, you know, didn't treat him great. You know, he thought he had like a new best friend, and then found out like he's not really his friend. I don't know. That's kind of how I kind of took some of it.
Well, I thought that, you know, like he was, I think maybe he was having this, just issue with this idea of this drunk, you know, actually doing something, selfless, if you could call suicide selfless. It's kind of a rare thing to say, because suicide is, not a selfless act. It's very selfish. But, you know, with the idea that it would save the group,
the ranch, or the group.
Yeah. You know, but in the end, you know, his father was, you know, a jerk. And, so I think the whole thing kind of, the weight of everything, you know, just kind of hit Troy, and his, desire to fight just for that one moment, you know, subsided enough. Right. But, you know, it's interesting. I was going to mention this later, but it's funny how both Troy and the rest of them, of the militia, former militia, all think, you know, that Nick's the hero. Mm-hmm. and it's kind of funny, because I don't think he is. And, it's just like this reminds me of, you know, many, many different, movies and, you know, based on a misunderstanding, you know, several episodes of Three's Company, probably every episode of Three's Company. But, you know, like the idea of, you know, this, I guess, this person that, you know, is misunderstood and, you know, rises to a level based on a lie, or based on, you know, a misunderstanding, essentially. But at the same time, Nick realizes that, you know, he could kind of control them if he takes this role. So he does. Anyway, I thought it was interesting, and great feedback there, Dieta. And actually, that's pretty much the bulk of our
the feedback.
Feedback, except for we did a poll, and because originally it looked like we were going to be pretty light on feedback, but we actually got quite a bit of feedback coming off of the poll. So the question I asked in the poll was, how excited were you that Fear the Walking Dead returned on Sunday? And of the people that answered, the vast majority said that they were excited. So as of just before we started, excited won with 13 people saying they were excited. Second place was, I'm caught up with 3A, but I haven't watched Sunday's episodes yet. That got 6 votes. I don't watch the show, which people have always have to say proudly, I don't watch the show. You people are wasting your time. That got 2 votes. Somewhat Excited got 2 votes. I Didn't Know It Return, which I think tells a lot. That got 1 vote. Watched It and Was Disappointed got 1 vote. And then the other 4 choices got no votes. Very Excited, Not Excited, Indifferent, or I Binge Watch but I'm Behind, so I Didn't Watch It. Mm-hmm. None of those got any votes.
Well,
but we did get some comments that were worth sharing with feedback. So why don't you do the first one?
Deborah Clayton, she said, I'm excited, but I will say I was a little disappointed in this episode. It ended on such a high note, too. I love it when Nick cut his hair, but I don't know how he has it slicked back. Oh, I don't like how he has it slicked back.
I think when she says it ended on such a high note too, did she mean the end of season 3A, or did she mean the end of the episode with the
with
everybody gathering together to dig? I don't know. But Corey was next. He said, I was very excited. The first half of the season was excellent. Good action, drama, and character development. I'm not usually one to nitpick about pacing, but the season has been noticeably well-paced. I hope the haters come back and give the show the chance and ratings that it has earned. It's not better than the main show, but the fact that it's not based on the comics gives it an element of realism that we don't always see in the main show. Looking forward to the podcast. Well, thanks, Corey.
Yay.
Look who you get to do again. We didn't plan it that way, Deanna,
yeah,
I swear.
I don't know. This is working out. Hey, it's perfect. We'll be like our BFS in comments.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Deanna says, I was excited and disappointed after I watched. I don't know. Maybe I need to rewatch the episode and give it another chance. And I would say, if you have time, maybe watch parts of like the latter part of the 2, because that's when I felt like that's when, you know, things got more interesting. And this whole episodes, I feel like we're just setting us up to what's coming up next. And what I saw from the clip of what's coming up next, I'm like, I am so there.
Yeah, that was my take as well. And, you know, we got to have a great reunion, especially, you know, the last half with Strand and Madison. And to me, that was, you know, my favorite part of the 2 hours. Deborah, normally we don't like feature comments of comments, but Deborah had something to say based on what Dieta said, and I thought I would include this one. She says, funny, that's exactly what I plan on doing. I was tired when I watched it, so maybe that could be it. It just seemed like this episode should have been somewhere in the middle of the second half, not the premiere. I am glad to see Strand. He does bring a bit of weird humor. I'll stick with the show. I do think it still has potential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do I. I just, you know, if you remember the mid-season premiere last season, was that one with Nick going on that, you know, long walk. I mean, that was kind of a disappointing mid-season premiere as well. I thought that this was certainly better than that was.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a little disappointing. You know,
yeah,
I was expecting more.
Yeah, and just quick, that's why I wondered, like, having this break kind of, I don't know, like, the decision to break it up so that it stretches it out and, you know, backs into, like, I guess The Walking Dead or however they want to do it. But just having that break like this, it kind of threw off, I think, the momentum that it could have had. Because if these 2 episodes were separate and then we were just continuing on, I don't think there would have been too much of a, you know, there probably would have been a different feeling about it. Because you knew it's like, hey, we're still going. And it's like setting things up. But it was just coming back after so long. It was like, oh, you know, like I wanted more. And I don't know. That's how I felt watching it this time.
You know, we got through the first part of the season, and the first part of the season was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, even the critics were coming back to it, saying that it was an improved show and that it was worth, you know, a second look. And, you know, the ratings hadn't really reflected that yet, but I know it was doing better in like the delayed watching. So the Live yeah. Plus 3 and the Live Plus 7, it was getting good, DVR, ratings. But, you know, ratings, you know, especially considering how it was in season one or even the first part of season two, you know, the ratings are far off. And, you know, especially with, you know, what's been going on with Florida and, you know, I think that a lot of people weren't terribly aware because there wasn't a lot of hype coming back. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the ratings are down from what we were seeing at the end of the first half. And, you know, I don't want to see that, but I wouldn't be surprised if we come back and, you know, we're getting under 2 million viewers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I hate to say that, but I think that's what we're going to end up finding when the ratings do finally get released.
Well, then you also the timing and just everything that's going on that doesn't really help either.
And, you know, I also have to say, and I consider myself, that's so ironic because, you know, the first 2 years of this podcast, whenever Game of Thrones would come up, I'd say, you know, I don't really like Game of Thrones. You know, I don't get Game of Thrones, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, those days are over.
Oh, welcome.
over the hiatus, you know, most of that hiatus was spent watching Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones, I mean, a lot of people didn't like the pacing of the season, the jetpacking and stuff. But in terms of spectacle and, you know, I don't know. For me and, you know, someone who binge watched the first six seasons, I loved season seven. I mean, it was, things are faster paced and I didn't have a problem with that. I wasn't one of those people. I just, it's funny, but compared to this show, Game of Thrones is throwing such a high standard up there that it's so hard to for any other show to even come close. So, you know, Fear the Walking Dead might have been really good in 3A, but, you know, you're comparing it to what we just saw. It's kind of like, yeah, okay, that's good. It's coming back, but, you know, I'm not like pumped and watching them five or six times like I was with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm not podcasting about the darn show, you know, I was watching them multiple times because I'm a hardcore Game of Thrones now. So it's I still find it so funny though. Went back and heard myself talking about it to Ruthie. It's so funny because I was so wrong. But anyway. All right. All right. So let's move on to what Wendy said.
All right. Wendy said, I was excited, but not as excited as I am for The Walking Dead. I thought the episodes were solid, but not outstanding. A little disjointed, but overall good, like Maddie and Walker together.
And despite what I just said about Game of Thrones, The Walking Dead is my show. It will continue to be my show. And I know this because I didn't watch the and I thought it was kind of weird. I said this on the Facebook group. I thought it was kind of strange that they, instead of playing season 3A prior to the, you know, the mid-season premiere, they played season 7 of The Walking Dead. So just before, now there was the season 8, you know, like it was
special.
Yeah, which is they call it that. But it's essentially, you know, Talking Dead. It's the same darn show. They just call it, you know, on the listings, they call it The Walking Dead. But anyway, so right at the end of it, I saw the last, you know, couple of minutes of the last episode of season 7. And if you've heard me, you know that The Walking Dead makes me cry. I instantly started crying. The moment I heard Maggie talking, I started crying. It's yeah, I'm pathetic, but the point being is that I agree with you 100%, Wendy. I do really like fear, but it's no Walking Dead. You know, it mm-hmm. it just does not affect me in any way. I'm not, you know, emotionally invested the way that I am in the main show. And, you know, I just love that. No show, even Star Trek. No, that's not true. That's not true. It's just been so long. My memory has faded a bit. Other than the Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, I'd say. And I guess Voyager 2. No other show. Okay, Babylon 5, maybe. Okay, just those. I wouldn't even say the X-Files did that. Affected me in that way. But I mean, those, the Star Trek shows, I mean, that's been a long time ago. So no show in, you know, in my adult modern era affects me like The Walking Dead does consistently. I just turn into somebody, you know, chopping up an onion and start crying.
Yeah. That's the thing. I agree with her. I think generally that's probably how most people feel. You're a fan of The Parent. This show has its ups and downs, but at least I find it entertaining and I like it. But I don't know. It keeps surprising us. Hopefully we do get a really awesome season finale and a build up to some craziness, and a payoff would be good.
All right. Next bit was from Kristen, and she said something that kind of really resonated with me. She said, "I was really excited, but didn't have much to say on it, to be honest. It wasn't surprising. It wasn't riveting, but it wasn't boring either. With Troy gone, I'm not sure what the drama will be on the ranch, so I'm looking forward to seeing Madison find out Daniel is alive and how that will play out. Daniel is really the only character besides Strand I have any care for as of now. I'm kind of tired of Madison and her kids. Not to say I won't change my mind, just this week was not what I was waiting for after such a solid first half." And I told Kristen, actually on Messenger, that she said it better than I could have. That was pretty much exactly how I felt about the episode. You know, I didn't hate it, but it just didn't really grab me the way that I was hoping, and it wasn't what I was hoping for after the first half. I was just expecting more, you know.
You know, I can't disagree with that. Like,
yeah,
that's exactly how I felt. Although that's the thing. It was like, there was a little bits that were like, oh, there's some really interesting things to come. And that's enough to keep me going and be like, no, I'm like, I'll probably fast forward these in later rewatches when I want to rewatch the whole season all over again and be like, oh yeah, I got that. I know. I already know what happens. We're fine. Okay. Next episode.
All right. Why don't you go on to the next one?
All right. Next is GJ. Was very excited to see Michael Grey Eyes and Justin Rain, two First Nation actors from Canada.
Yeah, I guess Justin Rain was the guy that's playing, Crazy Dog? Is that what's his name?
Second lieutenant guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had recognized him too, but I couldn't place from what. Okay. All right. Next and final bit of feedback we got is from Glynis. She says, "The plot is looking good, interwoven nicely with them heading to the dam and Daniel. Troy will be back too. can count on that. I would definitely say you can count on that. It's just a question of when.
Yeah, let's. But again, I love this whole, like, see, you know, Strand and Madison uniting. Then we know that Daniel's going to get back in the picture. And then Ophelia, because she does say, she's like, I guess I am my father's daughter. Like, are they going to team up and like lay waste to everyone? Or, I mean, you know, there's so many things that could happen. And it's, yeah, that's what makes me excited about the rest of the season.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is it for our feedback. So now it's time for us. So, do you want to start it off?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like when they get to the bazaar. I mean, I like seeing that kind of aspect, because we haven't really gotten to see something so big, or seeing something so, I don't know, like, you know, functional with the different groups of bunch of people. But then I was also thinking, I'm like, okay, looks like a lot of people have survived this long. You know, there's a lot of people come to this place. And I was like, and everybody seems to have gas, because there's like the parking lot had lots of cars in it.
Yeah.
And you think it's like, you're here, you know, there were, I guess, some of those secure, you know, whoever that security guard people, or, you know, who leading them up to the fence to chain them up for whatever their debt was. But, you know, I would think people are desperate that they'd be like stealing everybody's like gas, or like breaking into cars at night. And
yeah, you'd certainly think so.
Yeah. It just seemed like they just like, oh yeah, this is all like, you know, what, I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed very interesting. And then we do get a new name, and, you know, who is Proctor John? Like that guy who, you know, like, is that the new, what was his name? The one that was at the well, just totally forgot.
Dante?
Dante. Yeah. So it was like, this is like a new Dante kind of thing. Like, is he some new, you know, is he just a gang? But yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting, because everybody was like, they are afraid of him. So this guy has power. So how does he fit in this, or does he?
Yeah. Cause that, can't remember. I know her last name, or, you know, the last name that they gave her was Lou. Was it
Nancy
Lou or something like that? I can't remember.
Maria Lou.
She certainly seemed to be, you know, not wanting to mess with anything that, you know, if they pissed off Proctor John, she did not want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah, like the, you know, consequences that, yeah, it's, I was interested though in her side too, because it's like, who is she? What group is she with? Like, you know, it's kind of like this like crime syndicate. So there's like these little families everywhere, you know, it's like the mob. But
it's kind of funny, because what I saw there remind me of a girl that I dated back in, well, when I still lived in Canada. Because what I saw there was like Chinese Mexican, so, you know, largely Chinese, but also like she didn't look like full blooded Chinese. She mm-hmm. looked like there was some Mexican blood in her. It just reminded me of my ex girlfriend who was Chinese Jamaican, so it's a similar kind of thing with her. But it's funny how that kind of similar place in society, like, I don't know if I'm making any sense. it was interesting just seeing that in Mexican culture, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. The whole, like I said before, the bazaar was very interesting to me. It's always something that I thought would have existed some at some point, you know, in the main show. But yet, you know, all we've ever seen are these factions fighting with each other. We don't see this idea of like a trade place, which I think would, you know, eventually there be some kind of place like that where these communities would trade and, you know, barter with each other. And, you know,
Well, yeah. Interesting. Cause now I'm thinking about it, like, because I think they said in the show, or maybe I heard it from somewhere else, but you know, it's like how much time has passed at this point? Like it was like, I put like 6 to 9 months. Has it been maybe that long? Maybe a little sooner.
Yeah, but I don't think it's been that long.
That long.
I'm thinking, you know, this is just a guess, but I'm thinking it's probably 2011 at this point. You know, we know the apocalypse happened in 2010 on the two shows. So I'm thinking it's probably, you know, 2011, like maybe, you know, like March of 2011, April of 2011. I don't know.
Yeah.
So maybe 4, maybe 5, 6 months. Something like that.
And that's what's interesting was when I was thinking, I'm like, wow, there's so many people alive because we've only seen from The Walking Dead just like total waste and like no one, and everybody's just struggling for breadcrumbs or like anything to like, there's kind of a functioning society to some degree. Like, and if it's only been that short time, then I was kind of like, well, definitely different areas of the country, maybe more remote or different types of people. But it was like, they built this thing, you know, from the ground up in such a quick time, unless it was something that might have been already there. I don't know, but
That's what I wondered if the thing was, you know, because it looked like it was a bullfighting arena or something that it had been converted. So it made me think that maybe, you know, during, you know, pre-apocalypse, you know, during the off season, you know, was a flea market or something like that. And then, you know, it had just kind of developed into this marketplace. But so I thought that whole thing was really interesting. So, but one thing that I noticed that I thought was interesting was, you know, we talked about this last half season about where Brokejaw Ranch was, and we were thinking it was Arizona. But one thing I noticed is when the truck that took away Troy, you know, brought him on his exile, had a California license plate.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still in California. So, you know, and we know that – did they say like Mexicali was a couple of hours away?
I mean, it wasn't – yeah, it was a ways. I don't recall exactly. Now you make me want to like go back through and start looking at everybody's license plates, like Walker and them. Like, do they have license plates? What does it say?
We know that. Okay, so we know that bazaar was in Mexicali, and which makes me wonder because that's where what's her name, Luciana, you know, was actually going to head to Mexicali. So I wonder if we'll see her there. She's still in the credits, so, you know,
yeah.
I think she's off the show.
Yeah. No, I bet we definitely are going to see her some point, something, somebody's side maybe, or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we know where Mexicali is because it's near Cali. You know, it's Mexico, California. We have to think that, you know, maybe they're on the, like, eastern, you know, southeastern part of the state, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're not in Arizona. I guess they're in California.
Yeah.
Someone on the writing staff seems to like the word feckless. Because I had mentioned that, you know, during the first half about how Jeremiah said a couple of times the word feckless. And here we get Strand this time saying God is a feckless thug. You know, so it's just funny that, you know, he uses the same word that Jeremiah used, because feckless, you know, I'm sorry, but feckless is not a word that I hear very much.
Yeah, no.
The other thing I was going to say is that did you notice that Ophelia seemed to know, or at least figured out, that Nick killed Jeremiah.
Yeah, I got that. Like, she kind of seemed like she just knew what was up. Like,
yeah. I don't know if she knew specifically that he did it, but she seemed to read things very accurately.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, Ophelia does kind of know them, so maybe,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of like she knows kind of what they're capable of. And, you know, I guess in her mind, why would Otto just give up, you know, like go without a fight? Or, yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's kind of like, you, if you were there and you were thinking about it, you were like, okay, he would have never done that, but whatever. You're like, we're here.
I think it's, you know, it's really interesting though how Ophelia is very much, you know, not on their side.
Yeah, not at all.
And I wonder, you know, what's going to happen, because we know at some point, you know, now that we know that Strand, you know, Walker and Madison are heading to the dam, we know they're going to meet up with Daniel. I mean, we saw that in the trailer for 3B.
Yeah.
So we know that's going to happen.
And you would assume that Madison's going to be like, oh, yeah, we know, like, I saw Ophelia, you know, like.
Yeah. It's definitely going to happen. So,
yeah.
I'm curious how that's going to, you know, once he finds out, you know, what she's been up to, you know, how that's going to change things.
Yeah. We'll see.
What else you got?
I guess, like the ending, I mean, it was like, you know, like I just kind of was like the ending of him, like, cause you see Alicia, I guess she was on top of some kind of lookout tower or like some wall or whatever. And she sees the, Walker's people with the like two sticks or whatever, trying to, I mean, you know what those are. It's like, that's right. What they use to like look for water or like whatever. And she sees that going on. So I guess at that point, you know, she goes to go and maybe go follow them or like, you know, track them. And then the other group is like going up the, you know, the hill to like take out Ophelia and all them. And this big, huge battle is going to happen. And so, I mean, you know, there, at some point there had to be like either just bloodshed or there was like a cut, you know, like it's just a break in tension. But then it's like, you know, Nick sees Alicia over there helping them dig the hole. And it's like, okay, I'm going to just change the, you know, change what's going on here and just walk that way. But I was like, one, I was like, you know, what were they doing? You know, like, were they just making a rain collector? Were they like thinking they're, you know, digging for underground water, like another, you know, I don't know, whatever, to find water? But then I was like, what a better way to just piss everybody off that's already pissed off is just like high heat and hard labor. Like you can't imagine that everybody is about to just like kill each other because they're all angry and mad and, you know, tension, you know, adrenaline running, to like go and start digging a hole together, like this yeah like let's get together moment. And then not someone get mad because, you know, you hit me with your shovel or like it's so hot and then you dig this hole. Like, I don't know, I just kind of was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I mean, anyways, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I don't know how you look for water in the desert like that. I mean, I know, I guess there's ways to, you know, there's still not aquifer, but, you know, there's still some kind of water to a certain degree just underneath the surface. But,
right.
You know, I was curious, like, I guess it doesn't really rain because they're kind of in the desert. So
the thing that, well, I liked the moment. I mean, I don't know how realistic it was. And, you know,
I think that's,
matter,
yeah.
How, you know, how accurate those things are, really. But I especially since I had, you know, just watched the episode, I went back and was thinking about the episode. I think it's Burning in Water, Drowning in Flame. Is that what it's
called?
The fifth episode where Alicia, you know, dives off that cliff or that rock, you know, into the water. Well, there certainly seemed to be a lot of water there. You know, is there something wrong with that water or what? And, you know, is it just that that lake or reservoir or whatever it is isn't very deep. You know, how did that turn into only 6 weeks?
Yeah, to like where they were looking at that one area, there was just like not a whole lot of water. Like it looks like it would dry. But yeah, I know. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's right. Like she jumps in this gigantic, like what seemingly looked like a big gigantic lake, you know, yeah, on a cliff. So is that just maybe it was a river and now the water dried up? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Continuity.
it made me wonder. I mean, mm-hmm. I definitely, you know, I could see that the water could be a problem,
yeah,
especially when there's a lot more people trying to drink the water, but still, that was,
not really even, yeah, then there was nothing to lead that there was anything problem, or it's just, yeah, it's kind of interesting little insight that maybe they forgot about.
Yeah. I'll just say, since we just mentioned Alicia diving, I thought it was a pretty good episode for her. She's showing a lot of leadership, you know, potential. I think more leadership potential than Jake, who, you know, certainly seems to be off his game.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I wanted to talk about a little bit, we talked about like Nick telling Troy that, he killed Jeremiah. Were you surprised that he told him?
Not really. I mean, I kind of felt like it was leading to something like that. So when he actually then decided, okay, fine, because he just looked like he was just getting like annoyed with Troy, and almost kind of like, okay, I have nothing left, and let's just, you know, maybe he thought he was going to die, and so he was just like, here, like, I killed him.
Like I said earlier, I think that in the case of Nick, his arguments weren't having an effect on Troy.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to reverse the psychology a little bit and just say, well, here's the truth about your dad. You know, he was a drunk and he was, selfish and, you know, treated you badly, and this is what we had to do. So then, because it is true, I mean, he said some awful things about him, and would have just let the whole thing go, you know, into a big war, just out of spite, like Nick said. But
yeah,
the thing that I was, why does Madison tell Troy, I want you with me?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, because I do remember like her saying that, but I don't really.
And then that whole, you know, fight that they had.
I mean, it didn't look like too much of a fight because they almost looked like they were like play fighting.
Who?
Madison and Troy when they're fighting, because I don't know. They were like hugging each other.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You know, we've talked about this at length in the first half, but the way he was hugging her, I thought he was going to spin her around and kiss her, you know?
Yeah.
And it's this whole weird thing that goes on.
Yeah. Like,
and something that Deanna mentioned about this whole mommy dearest thing, it is odd. It's like, because both you know, Nick and Alicia have this like, you know, love me mommy kind of thing, and I thought it was kind of refreshing that Alicia just, you know, said she's broken, because she is broken. But at the same time, you know, the whole thing that's going on with Troy and Madison, I wouldn't even say it's overtly sexual. It's, and here we are, you know, we were talking about Game of Thrones, this whole incest kind of thing. Now they're not incestuous, there's, you know, this kind of like, you know, she's, I guess like it's an Oedipus, kind of complex there, where she's a mother figure, and you know he wants the mother, but he also wants, you know, more. It's just so strange. And we know that, you know, he cared for his mother, you know, when she was a drunk and dying, and, you know, it makes me wonder what the heck was going on there, you know?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see if anything comes out of it, or she tries to use that to finally shoot him.
I think that's all I've got. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, no, that's all I've got too. I don't see anything that we haven't really talked about.
All right. To submit your feedback, there are several ways, including one way that we're going to publicize that we've never done before. Just as an experiment. First of all, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And there you can submit text or audio, and on that same page is the link to SpeakPipe, so you can use the SpeakPipe widget. You can also call the voicemail at 304-837-2278. And the way that most of our feedback comes to us is through our wonderful Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. And if you aren't a member, of course, Ron would say,
"What, are you serious?"
But we want to try something this time out. We've never used an email for feedback. So as an experiment this time, we are going to use our Gmail, which we have set up for this account. So send us feedback, written, or you can even attach an audio, or attach a link to an audio that you load somewhere. Send us an email at walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. So we wanted to try it as an experiment to see if we get any feedback that way. So again, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. So someone send us feedback that way next week, just so we can say it was a success.
And we can post it in the group, yeah, too.
Of course, you know, our wonderful Facebook group, that will continue to be our main source of feedback, I think. But and we want to just try email this time. And our deadline, of course, is 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, the Tuesday after the episode has aired. So that would be Tuesday the 19th for next time. You can also reach our Twitter at WalkingDeadGSM.
All right. The best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/Apple. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. And I guess we don't have any 5 stars.
No, it's been a long time, actually. It's been since April that we've gotten a review. So,
yeah. Well, all right. If any of you are listening and you want to give us a review, go ahead there. And find out all the other ways to support us at goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
All right. Our next episode for next week is Season 3, Episode 11, which is titled La Serpiente. That sounds like serpent. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know who has written or directed this episode, but the description is: a mission is launched to replenish the ranch's water supply. Well, big shock of that. Seeking the help of another community. Well,
kind of know who that is.
Yeah.
I think. Well, hey, we know what we're getting.
Well, anyway, that's it for this episode. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is
Fear the Walking Dead Talk-Through.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content? but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.